Janet Hale is former Undersecretary for Management at the Department of Homeland Security and writing at FederalTimes.com under the title Congressional Oversight of DHS. It's time for an overhaul. Janet, thank you very much for joining me. I think the only argument you'd get from a lot of people is that you're understating it, and you write about the formation of the agency 11 years ago after 9/11. Do we have a sense of how we got here, or have we even done sufficient analysis to understand what's happened that we should now go back and overhaul? Thanks for joining me today, Janet.
Well, thanks for having me. And I think part of the issue is that these agencies, the 22 agencies and 180,000 men and women that came into the department, really came from different departments with different jurisdictions. And that's why I've always said we only reorganized one end of Pennsylvania Avenue. So as you think about it, these are multi-mission agencies that have come in to focus primarily on protecting the homeland and terrorism, but they have other jurisdictional responsibilities as well. So we haven't reorganized the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, but these agencies are continuing to do a terrific job in sort of keeping us safe and moving forward.
You talk about the very fluid number of committees and subcommittees that oversee the Homeland Security Department and the various components. And you report that number as anywhere between 88 and 118, and we've seen that number fluctuate throughout the years. What does that actually mean for an official in a position like you held at DHS, where you're responsible for going to the Hill and answering a lot of questions, not just in front of committees under oath, but also responding to staff and a lot of other requests to explain what's going on?
Yeah, and again, I want to emphasize that it is incredibly important to have the oversight from Congress. So I don't think any of us that speak or write on this issue are objecting to the oversight. I think it is much more how much there is from how many different committees and, as you said, subcommittees. And if you think about it, it's not just the number of hearings or the number of congressional briefings that are done. It's the untold hours getting ready for those and then responding to questions for the record. So a witness, any leader in the department wants to be prepared, spends significant time getting ready, goes up and talks to the members of Congress, answers their questions and their staff's questions, but it's not just the number of hearings or the number of subcommittees that they testify in front of. It is the other time getting ready and being able to respond to follow-up.
You write, numerous commissions agree Congress should streamline the jurisdictional oversight to enable more effective and efficient supervision without straining the resources of the department. And you're correct. I've never talked to anybody who has said anything except the oversight role that Congress plays is tremendously important. But in your mind, with your experience base, what is that streamlining? What does that more effective and efficient supervision look like from Congress in a reimagined environment?
One of the things that's really important is that, as I've said, the executive branch is at one end, the congressional, you know, Capitol Hill is at the other. This is really a decision for the leaders of Capitol Hill to decide. Are they going to streamline sort of the committee jurisdictions? Is there statutory changes that need to be made? It's about either a committee chairman or an individual saying, okay, I'm giving up my role, or is it for the leadership to sort of say, in the 2014, do we really need all of this? And this is a good time to do it. There is a new Congress coming in January. There'll be new leaders of committees. There'll be new leaders across the board. And so I think that's one of the reasons that I spent the time writing this now, is because this would be a very good time for Congress to actually undertake this.
You call this an opportune time for the reasons that you just outlined, Janet. And those leaders come into office, whether they're changing, transitioning on the House side through term limits, or transitioning on the Senate side because of the change in political leadership. And those opportunities do exist Is there a way to provide incentives? Maybe it's somewhere in Congress or it's extra congressional, or I don't know, but is there a way to provide incentives? Because as you describe it, that seems to be the stumbling block. You've got to convince somebody in Congress to give up jurisdiction, and that's historically been, shall we say, a challenging thing to do.
As I said, I've always been in the executive branch, served a little time up on the Hill, but this really is for leaders to sit down and decide that this is the time to do it.
Janet Hales, former Undersecretary for Management at the Homeland Security Department, writing about congressional oversight of DHS. Are there things that you believe that DHS can help Congress to understand better about how the agency operates? Are there ways that they can be even more effective or efficient at providing the information that Congress needs to maybe potentially reduce the amount of time that's involved in face-to-face operations?
One of the things that people don't talk about often is how much outreach the department and its agencies and its leaders do. If there is a change in policy or an event, there are proactive briefings on the Hill. It's not just waiting for the Hill to, call the department up. And so I think as the department continues to do a great job of briefing the Hill on what is happening, either from a terrorist threat or from an operational issue, I think those continue to be very valuable for members of Congress. And the department, I know, will continue to do that because it's just part of the nature and the fabric of that department and those leaders to be sure that they do inform Congress on the appropriate issues. So I think you've asked, is there something new and different? I would just encourage them to continue to do the outreach that I know they do every single day.
And you write about the number of testimonies, statements of record, the participation in congressional, you write non-hearing congressional engagements, more than 2,800 this far through the 113th Congress. What else do people not know about the DHS Congress relationship, in addition to the numbers that you cite in this piece, that might be interesting data points to help us understand how that relationship works and why the way that it's set up now is not workable long term for the Homeland Security Department?
Well, I want to be clear that it continues to work. It is whether it can work better. And part of that working now is, as I said, if there's a change in intelligence or if there is a change in how they're going to do a policy in either TSA or Coast Guard or CIS or ICE or any of those agencies, there are those proactive briefings to be sure the leaders and the members that have significant interest are told. And every single day, there wasn't probably a day that didn't go by that I didn't talk to somebody on the Hill, a member or a staff, with a quick question or what do I see as the future? Tell me more about these numbers or about this policy. So these numbers are just about the more formal interaction, but from that congressional oversight and from a department communication, it happens every single day from every single agency.